You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey, the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs Nightly. Alright guys, we are back once again for another episode of Habs Nightly. And before we get into things here, Corey, how have you been, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm a little under the weather. The weather is changing. It's not cold. It's not cold. We're not even going to get into that discussion, Mason. But it's changed just enough, and it's rainy enough just for me to get sick. A week before Thanksgiving, that won't stop me from eating myself into a coma. But I'm doing okay. I'm a bit tired. I worked all weekend. So I'm just, you know, I thought, honestly, if we had some games tonight, we're recording Monday night. If we had some games to watch tonight in hockey, I probably wouldn't be too bad. But, like, there's, like, two games. I'm not really interested probably in either one of them.
They're both late games too.
Late games. It's a tough week for hockey. If you play fantasy, there's not a lot of games this week. I mean, normally I have like 59, you're somewhere in the 50s, right? Like 50, 40, like late 40s to like late 50s is normally like the amount of times my players play in a week. There's only like 30 of them this week. So if you're in fantasy,
tell me about it. I have 40, and the guy I'm playing is 51.
That's terrifying. That is legit terrifying. And it's like this week is one of those weeks where it's like your guys have to perform or you're going to get roasted. And it's not a fair, like it's like the first week, you know, the first week the season never starts on a Monday or a Sunday, you know? So it's like, you never get a full week your first week. So it's like, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, it's either going to be a good win for you and you start your season off right, or you're already down one because you had lack of play. The good thing about the NHL is that everybody's kind of in the swing of things for the start. You know, everything's kind of like cobwebs, they're gone. Your team's either shit or it's not. But now we have no games. But that being said, if there was games today, I might have been a little bit more peppy coming home to do something. I'm not. The games aren't interesting to me. And so I'm a little sad. I'll probably watch a movie, eat some food, and then go to bed. That's it. the sad life of the 30s.
This conversation's gotten me scouring to see if I can pick anyone up that might have more games this week.
Yeah. And you know, like the guy who I'm playing this week, he's very competitive. This morning at 6:45, I'm rocking one. I'm getting ready for work. And I'm just playing on my phone, you know, kind of doom scrolling on the pot, just chilling. All of a sudden, I start getting notifications. My man is loading up for this week. Like, this is a big week. You know, you beat me. You know, he's already looking to, like, raise in the standings. He won last year. I don't lose often. So, it's, you know, this is a big week. This dude is loading up. And I'm like, huh. And I go check, and I'm like, well, fuck. No one's playing today. Everyone plays Tuesday, no one plays Wednesday. Like, it's just not a good fucking week, dude. It's not a good one. And I got so upset with him this morning. I was like, this motherfucker is gonna try to beat me by sheer players just playing, you know. if I lose, it'll be by like a point, you know, like that's how it's gonna end up being. But let's see, Mason, how are you? I'm sorry, it's a little long-winded.
I'm pretty good. Been actually really happy with the Habs play as of late. especially the three guys I got on my fantasy team, Suzuki, Matheson, and Allen. Suzuki's really
he's
really,
on one right now.
Yeah, I wrote a little 4-game goal streak there. Really just picked up his offensive production from the start of the year, in which he started, you know, really slowly, kind of not mm-hmm. able to get a lot going. Catapulted himself back up, 13 points in 15 games. Playing good. Matheson at 12 and 15, like just doing what we knew he could do. He looked bad for a few games there, but he's really picked it up, scoring.
Right.
He scored, what's the last few games? He scored a goal against Vancouver, a goal against Detroit, on the power play too. Habs power play, 10th in the league. Craziness. So yeah,
crazy. He had a great look in Boston where he took it like coast to coast and like almost like put it away. Like if he did that, yes, it would be fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Nick Suzuki, now he's a definite pick for my league, but like I've said in the past, I like to challenge the league more than just making it like about the offensive prowessness. So like we have like face-off wins in just to make when drafting a center, like, you know, you want to solidify that pick early on. I mean, I think that's kind of typical, but it makes you analyze and make sure that you're grabbing someone that's going to get a lot of face-off wins. Whereas Nick Suzuki is still in free agency in my league. The only reason I don't have him is because I have like Crosby, Stamkos. I'd have to look. I just off the top of my head, I know I have those two. They're normally always in. But he's not getting a lot of faceoffs because they've been utilizing that that Sean Monahan comes in, or Dvorak now that he's playing. They're like utilizing them to get the guaranteed win, jump off, and then bring in someone else. I know that's the overtime look, but I think, to me, I feel like that's why Nick Suzuki's faceoff wins are a little below average this year than they normally are. Because last year, phenomenal in that category. He took everything. But I'm watching him. You know, I'll probably pick him up sooner or later. But my centers are looking good. My other league, I just grabbed Leo Carlson. Don't know why he's just sitting around, but it's a deeper league. A lot of players. I don't know why I got on Leo Carlson. I was just excited about it this morning. I was like, why is he there?
I had a really good week in fantasy, actually. I beat my opponent by like 160 points.
Nice.
Yeah, I had more points. Like I had a bigger lead on him than he had points on the week too. It was a pure slaughter. I scored the most points that week and he scored the fewest. It was quite
I destroyed somebody. Whoever I played in the THPN league, I busted their ass. Kind of like you're saying, like, I think they got to 100 points and I was like almost to 200 points.
Yeah, like just a pure annihilation.
What do y'all play on, Yahoo or ESPN?
Play on Yahoo.
Okay, yeah. We're playing ESPN for THPN, and I promise if we're playing that next year, I'm not playing. It is a garbage system. It is terrible. It's pathetic. It's just there. Like, they don't care about anything other than fantasy football. Like, it's just gummy. It's like the NHL games that EA puts out. It's just somebody's going to play it. Here it is. It's shit. We don't put any attention into it. Here you go. I'll never play it again after this. My centers, Mason, are Sidney Crosby. And listeners, Sidney Crosby, Joe Pavelski, which I use more as a right wing flex guy, Jack Eichel, Stammer, and Nick Bjugstad. Bjugstad, whatever the fuck his name is. excuse me. I've had him because up until the St. Louis game on the 9th, he's had a point in just about every game since October 17th. So, and he's still looking good. So that's why I have him instead of Nick Suzuki right now, because he's also playing the body a little bit more. So I'm getting a little bit more out of him than I would Nicky right now. But that's my center core. I've been doing good. I'm not scoring a lot of goals, but like I am like fucking crushing it in assist and power play points.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, and I have Cole Caulfield, which is if you got power play points on, what a guy to have right now.
Oh, and game winners.
Dude, every fucking game when we go to OT, I'm like, come on, give me that point. Give me that fucking point.
Yeah, oh, no. Fantasy was a good week, though. But in terms of just Habs games, too, like, I really
we've been
like
playing that. Great. I'm a little upset how somber I was about him last episode, and we talked about it. You know, it was just like I was kind of just overanalyzing dumb shit. But they've been playing good, minus you know the Blues and the Lightning game. You know, up until now.
Yeah, but like a team like this is gonna have those games, right? And we need to understand where right. The team is in terms of their development. Those games are gonna happen, but what's important is that the team continues to like in the St. Louis game, at least Slav scored, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Tampa game, Dvorak, I think, was it Dvorak's first game back? No, it was St. Louis? It might have been St. Louis too. Either way, at the end of one of those games, Dvorak potted like a really nice goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at like the last few games too, like the game against the Bruins was phenomenal. The Habs played great. Matheson has been great. The power play, like, do you want to talk about the power play? The power play is actually
it's very weird. It's so weird that it's working. Yeah,
10th in the league on the power play, and our 5-on-5 play has been horrendous, which is weird because our goals for was actually the highest in the league at 5-on-5 in October. And it's now the worst in the league in like November. It's just a crazy, I don't think it's dead last, but pretty close to. Like, it's been a crazy kind of transition. I can't remember the last time the Habs offense was being carried by their special teams.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like a reverse of the last COVID season when we were dog shit power play wise, but like if we went shorthanded, we had like the better looks. Chances are we scored. It's really weird. It's almost a little nerve wracking. It's great to see it, but it's like as a fan base, we know the power play is not. It's not consistent enough. So I feel like we're teeter tottering on. An opportunity to move on from this style of system, but with it doing good, it's just saving it for now.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I think like what's really helped the team too, like, is just the addition of two competent units as well.
Mm-hmm. First, no, absolutely.
But the way Mike Matheson has been power play quarterbacking that first mm-hmm. unit. There are mistakes that piss me off. He bobbles the puck sometimes. But you know what? I think Habsans kind of need to, like, calm down when they see shit like that. I'm guilty of it, too. It happens. Offensive defensemen make mistakes like that. And I like that it hasn't caused him to stop taking risks. Because, yes, there are some occasional flubs. But I would argue that he more than makes up for it with his offensive production, and I've been really happy with his play as of late. Him and Justin Barron.
I was gonna say, having him come up, and it's a little disheartening to not see Arper Jacki in that role. I liked him there, but at the same time, you cannot not slot in Justin Barron the way he's been playing and just looking out there.
He's been great. Not just offensively, but defensively. He's been great in transition through the neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe we just turn this into a like an episode on defensemen, because him, Matheson, and Gouley have all, Gouley in particular, have all been fucking amazing. just absolutely phenomenal play from the three of them. And do you want to keep talking about this in, or like where do you want to take this?
Before we do,
say about each of them.
Before we do, I just want to ask, because I don't personally know. I didn't get a chance to see the games this weekend. I saw the, you know, the recaps like we talked about, but Jordan Harris went down. Do we have an update on him by chance? Is he
played? He played the next game.
Okay, cool. Okay. So I was a bit worried about that, and I was gonna go. It was like, if he wasn't, if we didn't have news, where do we see ourselves moving? If he's out for a stint, you know, like who's our next man up type of thing. But no, let's stay on defense, because I'm not going to call it the Triton, but, you know, we never worried about defense. We haven't really. Last season, we thought we were going to worry about it, and then we were so impressed with these young guns. You know, despite them getting injured, it was just an injury-led season. But to see these kids, well, not kids, these guys, the way they're playing right now, it's above their age. Their age just, if anything, makes them that much more potent, because you're like, they're this young and they already have a grip on the game like veterans. And it's awesome to see.
No, absolutely. And I think more than anything, like the defensive, like in regards to, let's talk about Caden Gooley. We always knew he was going to be a reliable defender. I would argue we always knew he was going to be a very good defender. I think he's proving that he can be an elite defender.
Mm-hmm.
The way he uses his stick, the way he blocks shots, the way he, even simple things, the way he directs traffic away from the net, keeps scoring chances to outside of those high danger areas, has been on just another level to start the season so far. And I can think of multiple instances in recent games, like against the Bruins, where he blocks like three shots in a row on the 5-on-3 and just absolutely keeps the team alive. But even outside of that, we've talked a lot about his activation into the offensive zone, and it really showed in that overtime goal that he scored.
Yeah.
and it was perfect because he didn't overcommit early, right? So he lost his man. He kind of snuck in there, and he was in there right at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
And one, it was against the Bruins, so it was awesome. Two, the celebration was fucking amazing. But three, and I think it's exciting because we've seen this wasn't a one-time thing. We've seen Gooley start to do this even at the kind of late stages of last season.
Yeah.
And more so this year, especially to start the season, where he was activating and players didn't know he was doing it. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily getting those passes, but lately he's been getting them. The team's kind of noticing that, like, he's going to make that.
He's open, and they're trusting that, like, this is a guy to put the puck on. And
absolutely,
you know, and he's proving it, you know, like, yes, no, you're absolutely right. Give me the puck. If I have that shot, I'm going to take it. You know, he's just got such a great mind for it.
It's nice to see that it's paying dividends for him, that he got rewarded, but it's not just limited to Caden Gooley. And I've noticed that as the years progressed, mm-hmm. Matheson does it all the time, right? He's always activating. He's scored a bunch of goals. I think he got an OT winner actually recently too.
Matheson?
I might be talking about out of my ass. It might have just been a game winner. But it was similar where he just was it the first? It might have been the first goal against the Bruins. Yeah. It's kind of foggy to me. But it was the same thing. He walked up and got a pass and shelved it. And we see it with Barron a lot too. Harris and Jack, I've been starting to do it more. The Habs are expecting their D to activate into the offensive zone. And now that they're expecting it, when they do it, and they seem to be doing it far more frequently, like it happens often, it's been paying dividends. And I think that is only going to help the Habs 5-on-5 offense. I don't think this team's going to keep slumping that much longer at 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
I just think as a system, to not just individual players, not just Barron, Matheson, Gooley as individuals, But as a system, it's great to see that that's being implemented, because that's what the successful teams in the National Hockey League do. Teams that win cups have mobile defensemen who are able to quarterback five-on-five play as well as power play.
Right. No, I agree. It's good to see that we're at a point where they feel confident, like we can not lean on them, but we know that there is that opportunity there. Our defensemen can activate into it and have success. It's proving it, you know. And I love seeing the team now utilizing that as a viable option for offense, you know. We're no longer just kind of cycling the puck around. Everyone on the ice has an absolute cannon or it can be put in a situation. If there's something to move on, they're not hesitant. They'll take that shot. It's not a puck hog move, but everyone has confidence in their shot. And it's really awesome to see right now, you know? And it also makes it that much more like dangerous. Like, you know, the team has to pay respect to it not in a sense, but they have to, like, you know, Arbor Jack guy, he's not just a blue line guy. You know, if it gets to him, you have to make sure you're up on him. Same thing goes with Matheson, Barron, Harris. I haven't seen as much of it. Caden Gooley, like you just said, phenomenal finisher the other day, just to bury the Bruins. And then it immediately goes to Marshawn, just upset with himself, you know. It's just been really awesome to see this team start to move in a direction that way.
No, absolutely. Like, I totally agree.
Like true trust in your defensive line as well, you know, what the pairing.
Yeah, and when it becomes a like a system standard and a system expectation, you're going to have young guys like Hudson, who is obviously going to thrive on
that. Oh, my God, dude. I heard he's doing great now with BU.
Yeah, but it helps with just the development of the rest of the guys that you're bringing up. This expectation, it's going to leak down to the AHL. Guys are going to see that. They're going to know, and the coaches are going to tell them this is what they want. This is what Marty and his staff want. It's just good for the entire development of our D, which is already looking like it's going to be a promising future, but it's exciting, to say the least. But before we, move on from this and start talking about, you know, some of the other topics on our agenda, I believe we do have a message from our friends at DraftKings.
Absolutely. And it's actually about hockey. So, kudos to DraftKings. Thank y'all so much. But yeah, it's a very simple one today. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings, and let's pull up some stats. I'm not going to talk about tonight's games. Obviously, it's useless content. But let's see. NHL, pull up the app. Pretty easy app to use. Let's go to more. Let's see. More bets. There we go. So let's say Tuesday we got Vegas, Washington. We got Boston versus Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Calgary versus Montreal, which we'll get to in a second. Dallas versus Arizona. How about Arizona winning? Was that 7-5 the other night? They're getting up there. New Jersey versus Winnipeg, two prominent teams right now doing good. Anaheim versus Nashville. The Lightning versus the Blues, and the Sharks versus the Panthers. Good Lord. Bless the Sharks. Anyway, download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. That said, bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. cdkng.com/hockey. For eligibility and deposit restriction terms and responsible gambling resources, NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved. Good Lord. Mason, we have another ad read by our friends over at Raycom. It may be too early to start decorating for the holidays. That's a fucking joke. But it's never too early to start your holiday shopping. Why not take care of it now? Before the crowds and packed calendars make shopping a total nightmare, especially when you can get some of the best deals of the season well before Black Friday. You can shop Raycon products right now and save up to 50% off because their early Black Friday sale is going on now. You've heard me talk about Raycon products before. Raycon first made its name for themselves in the audio space with products like the Everyday Earbuds, which is, you know, a godsend to me, known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features like a 32-hour battery life and a perfect in-ear fit for all-day wear and lasting comfort. And this past year, they expanded their entire business with the introduction of Raycon Home and Raycon Power Tech. Their five-star reviewed Magic 180 cable allows you to charge iOS, micro USB, and Type-C devices 8 times faster with 100-watt power delivery. Their faucet filter ultra filters the water in your tap against chlorine and heavy metals. It's a must-have for ensuring the water you use to wash your face and brush your teeth is, you know, actually clean. Raycon is known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features at half the price of other premium tech brands. It's no wonder their products have racked up tens of thousands of five-star reviews. To get everyone on the holiday shopping spirit a bit early this year, Raycon is currently offering 20% off everything on their site with select products up to 50% off. So beat the crowds and save now. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on Raycon's early Black Friday sale. Hurry now to buyraycon.com/THPN to get 20 to 50% off site-wide. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score up to 50% off Raycon products. Buyraycon.com/THPN. Mason, what have you been listening to? He's on the spot.
Lately, I've been listening to, let me actually just check here. I can tell you.
You're good. I'll tell you mine right now. I've been listening to Sanction. I don't know if you guys fuck with Drain. The new Drain album is sick. It's got a cover of a Descendants song. Descendants are coming down here in a couple of months. I get to see them. And I've been listening to Trivium. So that'll be my three. You don't have to do three.
Well, I've been listening to a lot of Suicide Boys, actually.
You like the kids from the West Bank?
Yeah, no, they're like, I don't know, just, I've always liked Suicide Boys, but I've been back into it, and I don't know, like a lot of Suicide Boys lately. Baby Keem, but he's pretty like constant on my playlist. A lot of Mac, they're pretty constant. I would say the only like resurgence has been Suicide Boys over the last month or so.
Heard that. Did you see the Morgan Wallen Post Malone country collaboration they did the other day?
Did they release it?
It was like something for like a
I thought it was more like
an award show or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
Yeah. Sick song. I was talking to my cousin the other day. I don't know when we're going to get a Post Malone's 90s influenced country album, but I'm sure it's coming. That kid could be in any genre and really crush it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, his cover of that Fishing song back in the day was unreal. Unreal. Anyway, let's get back to hockey, bro.
Yeah, we were talking about the young D and the system kind of working out there, but I think we'd be criminal if we didn't end it up here talking about the play of our first overall pick, who's looked absolutely, you know, hasn't been rewarded for it yet, but has looked absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, even St. Louis had mentioned, you know, I'm going to butcher it. I don't have the quote pulled up, but it was someone, you know, some media, of course, was critiquing Slafkovský about, you know, not scoring. And he was like, I don't, you know, is he scoring? Not really, but is he playing bad? No, like his game has been great as of late. Just because it's not showing up on the score sheet doesn't mean that his play hasn't been fantastic. He's really starting to find his game, and it's getting dangerous. He's playing the body a little bit too. Just really becoming comfortable out there, and that's where he's about to start getting dangerous.
Yeah, and like, he's had some high opportunity looks in games. He just hasn't been shooting the puck.
Mm-hmm.
He had, like, the last game, he had an unfortunate little bobble there.
Yeah, and I mean, fuck, dude.
Against,
like,
Vancouver.
Vancouver. He's been unreal, Jesus.
But, you know, these things happen. And, like, 10 games ago, Slaf wasn't getting those looks at all, right? So it's nice to see.
And I mean,
opportunities, and he's just got to work on making the most of them now. I know, you know, it sounds like it's copium. It's just like us spitballing here, but there is genuine progress being made, and I think it is exciting for us as Habs fans to see.
Right. I would have loved to see Slaf a little bit longer on that first line, but this newly formed line with Caulfield, Dvorak, and Slafkovský, I think it's just as potent for him to get, you know, to get that experience. I love it. It kind of it, you know, Caulfield's gonna pull more attention his way, which leaves an opportunity for Slafkovský to really get out of that pass first mentality, because, you know, I feel like the ice is going to gravitate towards Caulfield, which it'll go back to Dvorak and Slafkovský, who it's almost as if they're like, you need to pull the trigger, this is the perfect opportunity to, you know, for some reason no one's respecting him enough, and now he's going to get the opportunity to prove why, you know, we should. And it's been paying off. He's been looking great. But moments like you just talked about in the Vancouver game, we're going to start seeing a little bit more of that. I think personally, just because of how like, you know, overshadowing they are on Caulfield and Dvorak being a pretty phenomenal passer as well. He's going to be able to find Slafkovský, in great opportune chances close to the net. I would like to see Slaf, start to not only get chances like that, but it allows him to get in some of that dirty front end position too. Big body block, you know, block up the goalie, get one of those nasty goals. You know, I'm not saying like really destroy the body like Brendan Gallagher, but he has a lot of upturn advantage trying to catch something off of a Cole Caulfield rebound, a loose puck in the net. He's really good at keeping the play alive as well, you know, in a chance where the play could be dead. He doesn't seem to give up too often. I'm starting to see that he's not looking around. It's not like airheadedness. He's seeing an opportunity and he's not giving up on it.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you on the whole, like, you wish that they had that top line with Slaf and Slaf, Caulfield, and Suzuki had more chances, to be honest.
Well, that's before this was created, you know.
Yeah, but I've said it for a while in that I don't think Caulfield and Suzuki are that great together 5-on-5.
No, I don't agree to, you know.
Yeah, I think that like this line of Dvorak and Caulfield and Slav has actually, while they haven't produced as much, they've looked phenomenal together. Mm-hmm. And obviously the points and goals need to start coming, and you hope
I think it will, you know. Games.
But Dvorak has always been like, Dvorak's kind of a weird player to assess because he's been injured for his entire
existence with us, with the
Habs, and just kind of his entire tenure in the NHL. But you go back last year and it was disappointing, but you go back to his previous 2 years where he was shooting at like a 50-40 point pace. He is capable of playing with good players, and he has always been capable of it. We saw that in London when he won a championship with Matt Tkachuk and Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. Like, Christian Dvorak has always been able to kind of mold his game to play with good players, and he's once again molded his game around what is going to be the best kind of situation for Caulfield and Slav.
Mm-hmm.
Because Caulfield and Slav kind of, I'm sure you've noticed, they're always in on the boards and Dvorak's always hovering behind. Right. And he picks up the garbage and he keeps it in the zone and he lets them do their thing. And he's always the first man back. Slav has been good tracking back lately too, but Dvorak makes it so that Slav and Caulfield can have these opportunities. And
right,
I really like that line as a whole. I like the kind
and
of
he's also got that very dangerous shot that we saw in the was it the Blues game?
Yeah, I think it was like that, his first game back where he scored that goal.
Yeah, unreal. So it's like he's dangerous as well, you know, like in that aspect. Like I feel like he's, you know, it's unfortunate we haven't seen much of him, but definitely a guy you can just kind of slot in and it works.
No, absolutely. But more to Slav individually, one thing I've noticed that's kind of gone, I think will go under the radar, is his play on the boards has been phenomenal. He's been using his size. It was against the Bruins, I think, or was it the Canucks? I can't. The games are mulling together for me, where he was like knocking multiple guys down, running.
I think it was the Vancouver game that he was a little bit more assertive. I didn't see the game, but through the highlights, he was kind of.
He's been very physical in all the games he's been on that line, but in that, it was one play in particular where he's knocking a bunch of guys down. Mm-hmm. But he's winning those battles on the half boards, and he's winning and able to use his stick in tight, which we saw often he wasn't, and he's using his reach to his advantage, and it's slowly coming together. He's you've got to understand, he's a 19-year-old kid, he's still growing into his body, and he's kind of learning how to use his body as an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing I've noticed, is that he's really winning those board battles and keeping play alive in the offensive zone for that line. They've had a lot of extended offensive zone possession.
That's true. And it's like, I guess to piggyback on it, it's Dvorak and Slavkovsky seeing a play like dissolving and then giving that extra effort and keeping it alive that much longer. Does it turn into anything? It hasn't so far, you know, that line, like especially Caulfield, just really needs to find his game on 5-on-5. But these guys are extending the play, and that's where we're going to see these advantages take off, because, you know, the defense is either tired or they're, you know, everyone's moving into the neutral zone, and we've got these two, you know, powerful guys. You know, Slavkovsky really learning how to put his weight out there and be comfortable playing at this level. And then, as you were saying, with utilizing the stick better, these guys are keeping the play alive a lot longer, and it's tiring out the opponent a lot more.
Absolutely. I've been really really happy with that line as a whole, and kind of just to wrap things up here, just briefly, won't go into too much depth.
I don't know if you heard, Sam Montembeau contract discussions are underway. Not just confirmed by Friedman, like Montembeau himself answered questions.
Okay.
So I'll just end it off with asking you what you think that, what do you think that contract will look like?
I want to pull up. What do you know off the top of your head how old Sam Montembeau is?
Like 26.
Okay, not bad. 26, I'd say you can see him at like a 3-year deal, which I think is honestly.
Sorry, he's 27.
He's 27. Okay, yeah, 27. 3-year deal puts him at 30. I'd say, 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, goalie contracts are kind of hard. I don't think that's a bad idea. I'm honestly thinking it could be longer term, like a 5-year deal.
5-year deal, close to that number, though.
Just because I don't see in the Habs system anyone that is an immediate, like, this is sacrilege. Yeah,
you need.
It's not been an issue for Habs, the Habs organization, for a while, but there's no heir to the throne. Right. I do think the Habs genuinely believe Monty can be that guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like a 5-year, $3.5 million contract.
Okay. But that being said, too, though, you sign him to this deal and he keeps performing. If you know, management sees this as an opportunity to move on, you know, because we still are in a position to you know, acquire assets. This guy has held his own, you know. Look what he's capable of last season. Look what he's been doing a little bit now that he's starting to get it, you know, getting a, you know, season form. A lot of goaltending right now is going kind of sour. Wouldn't be a bad guy to pick up that's already got a little bit of term, great pay. You know, there's either way they're going to set themselves up with success. The kids got it. Like you said, when it comes to fantasy, Jake Allen and Sam Montembeau have like some of the best shot versus percentages out there, which is awesome. And if we keep them, awesome. If we don't, I'm sure we can get something very nice for him. I'd like to see Sam Montembeau stick around.
I don't, like, Corey, I don't even think it's worth having a discussion of Montembeau leaving because of this. Like, they're not going to – it's clear to me that Jake Allen is going to be the guy. If they're going to trade anyone, it's going to be Allen or Primo.
Which is fair about the – like last year, like, you know, it could have been either or. I think Sam Montembeau, just based off of years, he's the better candidate. He's going to have a longer tenure.
Jake Allen will either be in the last couple seasons of his career or retired by the time the Habs are ready to win a cup.
That's true. That's true.
That. Allen has never once.
Allen's been the best, dude.
Indicated that he doesn't know exactly
what his role is. Yep. And that's why he's like so beloved here. You know, he's like, I know what I'm supposed to do. Final thing, got to give Primo his flowers. What game was that? Against Detroit. His dad played there for a long time. They put him in. He looked really good. He had that, I wouldn't even call it a blunder on his part, with that. I think it was the second goal went in above his right shoulder, but that was Suzuki's. He kind of threw it in right to whoever scored that goal. But Caden Primo looked really good in that game.
Yeah, he had a good game.
I have to say that.
Yep, had a good game. But anyway, yeah. So you're saying Monty at 3 years, $3 million. I'm saying Monty 5 years, 3.5. I have a feeling by the next episode, we're probably going to have the answer to that question. See who
I would love closest. That.
So without further ado, thank you guys once again for stopping by, listening to another episode of Habs Nation on the Hockey Podcast Network. We appreciate all the support, and we'll get back to you guys soon. See ya.
Thank y'all. Long live Brendan Gallagher.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network.
New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.